Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and this hour, really exciting stuff like the time change.
Oh, that is interesting.
Are you kidding?
Well, Phil, the time change is important.
Time change is important, but beyond that, there's an article here about how it's bad for your health. Well, you know what? Suck it up. You know?
Yeah.
If they think that I'm not going to go back to daylight savings, they're high on a mixture of nitrous oxide and like jet fuel.
What does that mean anyway? Do you know people that actually huff that stuff?
Yeah, get a load of you, huff.
Well,
yeah, as in the Huff Post. You know, there's a reason why they call it the Huff Post.
Oh, really? Is that because they huff over there?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah, way to do it, Mr. Hank.
Thank you. All right, so. Yeah, the time change is coming up on Sunday. We're going to have a debate here. I wanted to have a debate. I wanted to sculpt a debate. I wanted to create a debate, if you will, that would liven up the last hour of the program. We have Bobby Dooley returning to discuss with us freedom of religion and their Easter festival that they will be having in a few weeks that has been criticized by some in the Homeowners Association that she's the president of as being pagan, as having elements of Wicca, as being a frenzied fertility rite, and I'm quoting directly. The L.A. County Sheriff has been out there, and yet Ms. Dooley insists it is a completely Christian and traditional Easter celebration. Now, you can judge. I heard, you know, tribal drums.
Well, Phil, I think it's wrong to judge in the way that you're judging. You know, we have to be open-minded to the brilliant cultures that surround us in this world. I'm so excited. Frank and I will be traveling, as you know, to Fiji later in the spring. We will be visiting the various villages and the chiefs and the so on and so forth that you did. I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's great. You know, go visit the chiefs.
What do you mean you're going to visit the chiefs?
We're going to visit the chiefs in the different villages.
They get a chief in a village?
Yes, they have chiefs in the village. Where have you guys been? It's a village with the people in Fiji.
All right, no, I understand that, but I must say that I take great exception.
You take great exception to what?
Yeah, you tell him, General. General talked about this with me.
Oh, did you clear this with Bud?
I didn't clear anything with Bud, but I did. I opened my mind to Bud on this.
Yeah, and I believe it's a very interesting point.
Well, I just feel that, as you know, Phil, because you've traveled to Fiji, women are expected to show deference to the chief.
Yes, it's a very traditional thing. Do you want to explain it?
No, you go ahead, because I don't want anyone thinking that I butchered it alive.
When you meet the chief, if you're a female, you are to get on your knees and you crawl backward. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Crawl backwards?
Yes, yes, you crawl backwards. A lot of the chiefs down there don't make you do that. You have to show a little bit of deference, and once they see that you're willing to do it, then they go, okay, you know, that's fine. But there's a very specific way, but I think it's both men and women.
And you're crawling?
Crawling, yes.
All right. Now, the reason, thank you, Phil, I'm glad you, I have a problem with a white woman.
Well,
oh, my God.
Are you kidding me, General?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, what about a black woman?
No, a Western woman is what I mean to say.
Yeah, General's talking about a lady that comes from America.
I've got a problem with one of our American women. Yes, white, but yes, there are black women, too. But just the idea of a white woman getting on her knees to some heathen king.
All right, take it. General, you are showing a side to yourself, your age, your generation.
I'll thank you not to lecture me, Phil. I know what I'm saying, and I know my mind on this.
Well, you would have been better off if you would have said just a Western woman.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, then quit saying white women.
Well, it's a catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with our fine Western American women getting on their hands and knees to some pig king. There, I said it.
You know, I think you're being really unfair. You really are.
Well, show me the error of my ways.
Well, first of all,
here we go.
Hey, First of all, they're very friendly people. You go, it's a tradition. You don't have to go. You don't have to go, but they'll say, we're going to go meet the village king or the village chief, and you can stay at the hotel or wherever the hell you are, but it's a tradition to go and meet the chief of the village where you are, and you bring him a kava root, and you say hello, and he says hello to you. The guy, he's done it a million times. It's a tourist thing, man. That's all it is.
Well, then what's with all this crawling around like you're crawling on your hands and knees like the pig king? Well,
I don't think you should call him the pig king.
I'm not saying he's a pig, but they worship a pig. They worship the head of a pig on a stake, don't they?
Yeah, in Lord of the Flies they did. What are you talking about, man?
Well, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, get more familiar with it.
You're the guy that's been telling them all this horse dung. So yeah, what about it, Margaret?
Well, we're going to be going to Fiji, and we'll be enjoying it, and I think it'll be great fun, and I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Fiji is a fantastic country.
That's what I've heard.
It's the most gorgeous country, and the people are the friendliest that you have, I guarantee, that you will have ever met. They're just the sweetest people. It's a fascinating country. They have the interesting thing about Fiji is there's a little bit of a rivalry, and it's gotten ugly, between native Fijians, those are people that have been there for centuries, and the relatively recently arrived Indian Fijians. They from India, and those people first arrived as, I believe, indentured servants in the late 19th century. Some of them were business people and settled there. And so the Indian or the Fijian of Indian descent is of relatively new presence there in Fiji. And there's been a political clash at times. If you look at the history of Fiji, they've had a couple of coups, and it hasn't been all that pleasant. But for visiting the place, it's breathtaking. And I flew one of these aircraft, you know, takes off from the water, a seaplane. I flew a seaplane across the islands to get to the airport there. And the other thing about Fiji is that, like I said, the people are the friendliest people you've ever met in your life.
Now, you should tell Margaret, though, it was only about 150 years ago that they practiced to a fine art cannibalism.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Now, hold on.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is something I know something about, because we met the savages eyeball to eyeball when I was on when I was down there and on the Cook Islands, and I'd gone to the hotel lobby to get a Coke, and when I came out, there was one with the hair, and it was only then that she said, did I want my massage for 2 o'clock?
What are you talking about with the savages?
I heard they were cannibals.
They were cannibals a long time ago, but the Methodist missionaries showed up.
You see, the Methodist missionaries. So it did take the Christian missionaries to civilize these people. That's so disappointing.
Why is it disappointing?
Well, I would hope that some other missionary, like a Wiccan missionary, or did they have, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, they're like a Scientology. That would have been bitching.
Well, Scientology didn't missionary these people, you know.
Well, it's very unfortunate to say they did missionary.
I'm talking about missionaries as in teaching the people not to eat themselves or eat each other or whatever the hell you want to call it. All right, so having said all that, Bobby Dooley is going to join us here in a moment to talk about what has been a long and arduous process of her asserting the religious rights, as she says, of the people there. You guys are still practicing this Easter celebration that we came upon when we talked to Bobby here earlier in the hour. I tell you what, or earlier in the show, I should say. Bobby, if you can hang on.
That's fine, Phil, because
all right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve will be discussing with us, you know, the upcoming Easter festival that they've taken a great deal of heat over because the festival itself sounds rather, well, pagan. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this Friday night.
And I heard Nikki saying, are you going to relax this weekend? Because you really need to.
I am. I'm going to relax. All of our work is caught up. And everybody is at this festival, South by Southwest, you know, in Austin.
Now, what is this South by Southwest?
I don't want to get too bogged down because we want to get back to Bobby, but it's a comedy and music festival that they have in Austin every year. It is a phenomenal thing. I want to go to it. I just don't have the time, you know. You have to be able to make time. And doing a radio show, you know, you're here. And maybe if somebody would invite me to it or something.
Well, I think if you get your... Well, I don't want to say, but...
Yeah, if you get the animated show... And everything like that. They'll invite you to those, and you'll get to go to the Vanity Fair party and stuff.
Really? The Vanity Fair party, huh?
Well, it is very exclusive, Phil.
Whatever. You know, I got to tell you, I'm playing, my life is so different now. I'd be very humble and very appreciative if I got invited to the Hot Rod magazine party. I don't care if I got invited to the,
What about Boy's Life?
Oh, yeah. What about that?
You guys are sick. You know that?
Well... You said you'd be humble and appreciative.
Yeah. Boy's Life? What the hell are they going to be doing at the South by Southwest? Anyway, so yeah, we got caught up. Everything done. Everything's cool. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to chill. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to chill. So that'll be a lot of fun. Now, we have with us Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Vernon is going to be talking to us, as you know, an administrator and a teacher there, talking with us and doing a bit of a debate here. With Bobby Dooley. Bobby, I don't think anybody faults, and I can hear you guys have been practicing steady, right?
We have, sir. We've been practicing steady since about 7 o'clock Pacific time. Steve is right now... Where is Steve? Steve is now on the far western wing of what we have now, some 500 kids who are part of this Festival of Easter as we mark the resurrection of Jesus. And the idea that this is anything other than Easter celebration really chaps my hide, if I can use that term.
Is it safe to say, Bobby, that you're using elements of tribal dance?
No, it is not safe to say. This is our own spirited... Yes, there's a little bit of that, but this is our own spirited, joyful Easter celebration. And while the Easter drums are sounding throughout Western Estates, the children, and here they are, the children are now called to the Easter egg hunt. And you can hear them. You hear that? And Steve calls them and they answer, Steve?
Look out all the way. Tell the wobble ball.
Oh, you butchered it again, didn't you? Boy, you, Steve, if you had a brain, you'd take it out and play with it.
What happened?
Well, what happened was is that first Steve calls the children to the Easter egg hunt, and they were... All right, they're responding now. Steve, do it.
Shoot, I'm not doing it good.
Yeah, no, you're doing it good. There they go. All right, kids, that's great. Everybody stand down. All right, who are the ones that... Everyone stand down for a few minutes, okay, so that we can get our... I want to get our bearings here and find out exactly where everybody is. Turn that music off, please. All right, Phil, I'm ready, but you will be hearing in the background. We'll be continuing, as you know, our rehearsal.
All right, we'll bring on the line here from Belmar Academy, Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, Phil, thank you.
And, of course, Bobby Dooley is with us. We're going to be debating here, Bobby, the relative value of this Easter celebration. I think Vernon is believes, as a lot of us do, that this owes less to a traditional Easter celebration and more to what it was those police officers were asking you about when they first showed up at Western Estates all these many months ago, that it was, in fact, some kind of a pagan rite. And that is, I think, what was scaring them more than anything else.
Well, I will tell you, and then Vernon, I'd certainly like to hear your feelings on this. A pagan rite? We are celebrating as only we know how at Western Estates. We have the freedom of the religion to do as we please.
Don't you think it's an unusual way to celebrate Easter?
No, I don't. Look at him doing that. That's a bat out of hell. Did you see that? That's a Lamborghini.
I just seen that Lamborghini in the plant.
Wow, that guy was moving. We just saw a Lamborghini going like a bat out of hell, Phil. It was really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Phil, can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Ms. Dooley, to say that there is something, to say that there's something not quite... See, that's disturbing when I hear that.
What is disturbing about it?
Well, I'm listening to what sounds to me like the last thing Captain Bly heard before someone put an axe through one of his shipmates' heads.
Look at that. They're good little ones. No, that's a McLaren.
That's McLaren, Mercedes McLaren.
Are people listening to me?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
I'm listening to the sounds of drums. That sounds like the last thing that an English seaman would hear before he has an axe dropped right through his head, and his brains become just a part of a soup that is mixed in a bowl made with his skull. How's that feel?
No, that doesn't send me. I'm okay.
So you're not grossed out by that?
No, not at all. What we're doing, this is... Okay.
I think what you have going there sounds like some kind of a non-Christian South Pacific wild...
This is very traditional. This is right here, the drums. This is the call to the Easter egg hunt. And here come the children.
I'll tell you, if I was a British soldier with one of those big tall hats and one of those Springfield rifles, friend, I'd be down behind the sandbags right now.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. If I was an English soldier with a Springfield rifle and one of those big tall hats, I'd be down behind a sandbag.
Oh my God, you trying to say some kind of Zulu?
Are you saying this sounds like the attack of the Zulu?
I think it does, yes.
See, Phil, this is what I mean about the racism of our society.
All right, I think that you may want to...
Hold on, Phil. I don't... Don't get Rudy, will you? Where's Rudy?
He's having himself a pineapple drink, I think, but I can find out where he is and then we can get back to him.
Get Rudy Canosa. He's having a pineapple drink, Phil.
That's nice. Vernon Dozier is with us. Go ahead, Vernon. Say what you'd like to say.
She's still watching Lamborghinis. I'm saying...
Look at that. Damn, that is a nice car.
That's a hell of a nice ride.
It really is. Go ahead.
I'm saying that if you call this an Easter celebration, then why don't you come to my house and I'll go swimming in my pool without any pants on, and you can call that a baptism.
That was absolutely sacrilegious, what you just said.
Why is that sacrilegious? And you're out there with the jungle drums.
What's wrong with it? It's the Easter celebration. Here's Rudy Canosa. Rudy, what I want you to do is kick their asses into shape, will you?
Rudy, Phil, how are you?
Rudy, how are you? I got Vernon Dozier.
Vernon, yes, sir. I'm going to speak to the young people. You want me to do the Easter egg call?
Do the call to the egg.
Right, the call to the egg.
La 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 la.
See how good he does it, Steve?
Shoot.
La 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 la.
I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, all of this sounds very, very good. Thank you very much. All of this sounds real cute, and all of this sounds very tight and sweet. But there's something basically wrong about all this jungle action going on, and you're on an Easter egg hunt.
Well, who says there can't be drums during an Easter egg hunt?
I would say this, Bobby. You found a very unique way. Are those all homeowners?
Yes, those are all of our homeowners. They're all lined up. There they are. Now, those are the senior citizens. And the senior citizens are doing the call to the egg now for the young people.
Who's playing the drums?
The senior citizens. And now the young people are dancing. And then, now the young people and the senior citizens dancing. And now they've trained.
Okay, thanks very much.
Look, Phil, I want to ask you, do you have a job?
Okay, that's great.
I don't think anything got cleared up, but I did get one thing. If she's not hurting anyone...
What do you mean if she's not hurting anyone? You heard all of the frenzy of that. I can well imagine, after a certain time of the night, when they begin to drink from the shell of a coconut, you see, the fermented juices of some kind of tropical bean, I don't know. You can well imagine the things that'll happen.
Did Dr. Drabby think about nudity?
Maybe. Could very well be, yes.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not willing to read into it.
But about what Vernon said, if you call that an Easter festival, then him in his pool with no pants on is a baptism.
What about it?
What do you think of that?
I don't know. It sounded about as stupid as everything else that was happening over there. I think that if she's not hurting anybody, but I'll tell you one thing. If it's a disturbing the peace rap, yeah, then there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Ernie. There's nothing wrong with it, but if she's bugging people morning, noon, and night, and everybody going, yeah, da, 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 you know, all kind of stuff like that, yeah.
What?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Nonetheless, I agree that it's the worst thing that's possibly happening there is a disturbing of the peace, if you'll pardon the expression, peace. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And isn't this a nice little lilting number here?
Well, I thought I'd put some Western music on instead of all the jungle.
What is it with you guys around here tonight? Everybody feeling empowered to start knocking everything because it comes from Africa. Knock it off, okay?
I'm going to try to say that, Mr. Ray.
What is this? This is the simple-minded... All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Now, what is this? You should tell people.
Yeah, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, what you're looking at here is a drum right next to me here on the camera. This is a drum from Madagascar.
Is this one of the tribal native drums that Dooley has? Or?
Oh, I don't know what she's got, but this is an actual drum from Madagascar. And it's a cool drum. I bought this from a chap that I know who is from Madagascar. He owns or did own the mail center where we get our mail, where we have our post office box. Now, you can see here, this is a rope. For those of you that are watching us on Phil TV, this is like a shoulder strap. You sling the rope, you sling the drum over your shoulder, and you can see they've actually braided this rope to make it look like a chain. And it's wood, and you got your regular skin top. The bottom of it is hollow. And the reason why it's hollow is because that's really where the sound emanates from. And this is the size of this drum, you can see, is big. So it's kind of a bass drum. It gives you a lower register of the drum.
Now, do you know how to play that, or do you just bang around on it to drive people ape? You know what I mean. I'm not criticizing.
Well, no. I mean, I just bang around on it, but not to drive anybody ape. Do I know how to play it? No, I don't know how to play it. I mean,
You'd have to find other Madagascarians.
Yeah, you'd have to find another guy from Madagascar. Are there any guys around here?
Are there any guys around here from Madagascar? No, I don't think so, bud. I mean, the closest guy I knew was in Westlake Village. But he sold me this drum, and he said, hey, Philip, going back... Every now and again, he was going back to Madagascar. He said, I'm going back to Madagascar. You want another drum? I said, yeah, you know. But I don't think he's around anymore. I think he sold the business, him and his wife. This is a cool drum, you know.
Didn't you say that you went to some kind of a drum festival with a lot of very suspect Norwegian people? And
no, they weren't suspect. You mean they were from Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, that was it, yeah.
Suspect. Yeah, there was a drum festival in Minneapolis. Most of the people were like Swedes, or I mean American, but I don't know. So there you go, you know.
I think the drums are fascinating. I've told Jason J. Delmonico that if he wants to take up the drums, that his father and I would purchase a set of drums. But, he better get damn good on those, because I don't buy a musical instrument for a kid just so he can sit there and noodle about and waste my time and his learning how to be half-assed on it. I want the kid to be tops. I want him to be top of the line, or someone's going to hear about it. That's my philosophy.
Thumbs, Graham, give the kid a break.
Yeah, what do you hope to gain?
I hope to gain a son that knows... Get a load of him. I hope to gain a son that knows how to play the drums. Oh!
Well, I understand that, Margaret, but why put that kind of pressure on the chap?
Chap? What is that?
He means your son.
Well, I'm putting pressure on the boy... Because I want him to be the very best. If he cannot be the very best, I don't want to know him. And I don't mean that literally, but I sort of do. So I love him, and I would be with my son, but I wouldn't want to go to any drum festival if he sucked, and I think you understand.
You know, Margaret, there's this stage mother. You call yourself a woman who is not a stage mother.
I'm not.
Well, you act just like a stage mother. What do you mean he's got to be the best? Can't the kid just be what he is?
He is being what he is. The best.
Oh, yeah, right. You don't even know if that's true or not.
Bud, why don't you be quiet? Because every time I hear something coming out of that hole under your nose, it makes me think of I don't know, I just hear the screams of children. It's just...
All right. I won't tell you how to parent, but if a kid ought to be able to just have some fun. You know, when I was a kid, my parents tried to teach me how to play the piano. I did not like the piano. It was too complicated for me. I did not have aptitude for it.
Were you saying you weren't bright enough?
Well, yeah, I probably wasn't bright enough.
Well, what did you find difficult about it?
When I was a kid, they would take me to the piano lessons. And we had a very nice teacher. He was a nice man. He was a patient man. I was only about 7 or 8. But he'd show me the chords, and he'd show me, you know, and do this exercise, Phil. You know, doon-doon-doon-doon-doon-doon-doon-doon-doon.
What exercise?
It's like an exercise with your right hand, you know?
Oh, that kind.
Piano, man, okay?
What an animal.
Ow!
I didn't touch him, let the record show.
Nah, she didn't touch you, bud.
Yes, she did. How come it felt like somebody pinched my butt?
Because you pinched your own ass, probably.
Woo-hoo! What a jackass.
Anyway, he would give us all of these, you know, different exercises. I didn't relate to it. I love music. My whole life I've loved music. I listen to music. I buy music. I go to musical, you know, I go to shows. But when I found the drums, I'm not saying I'd be a good drummer, but this is the one instrument that doesn't take, I mean, for a guy like me, doesn't take a lot of brains, you know.
Yeah, but the drums are very, very intricate, Mr. Harry. You have to be a really, you know, like a good one.
I have to be like a good one?
God, just spit it out, man.
I did spit it out.
No, you're right. I mean, playing drums well, like anything else, is extremely difficult. And if you hear the great drummers, the really great drummers, and what I mean by that is I don't mean...
Well, what about the timpani players, like in the symphony orchestra, the ones that have the big boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, you know?
Now, see, I don't know that kind of drum. I guess I'm talking about drummers in musical combos, jazz drummers, rock and roll drummers.
Well, I don't know. Those guys, they're stumble bums, you know? If you can play the... These guys, Phil, they're sticking everything they find up their noses and the towel that they were cutting it up on. It all goes up the nose... And you're telling me they know how to play drums? I don't know.
Well, Margaret, I don't know what you're talking about now. I'm saying to play drums, jazz drummers are some of the best in the world.
Who's a great jazz drummer, Phil? Go ahead.
Well, you know, Elvin Jones. I mean, Joe Morello. You know, you can go on, you know, and talk about the great jazz drummers, the rock drummers. You know, we've already talked about the Ginger Bakers of the world and John Bonham. I had this big argument with people about John Bonham.
Well, what did you say about John Bonham?
I was quoting Ginger Baker. And Ginger Baker said, and I happen to agree with him, but it got me in all kinds of trouble.
Was this on Facebook? Phil, this was Facebook. Who cares what those lummoxes think?
Well, you know, that's exactly... So I said, Ginger Baker had said... He says, the general... This is, I'm quoting Ginger Baker. He said, the general public is really stupid... He said, how anybody could think that John Bonham is anywhere near as good as me is crazy. He said, John Bonham had great technique, but John Bonham couldn't swing. And he said, and that's what, you know, that's what I had all over John Bonham. Now, I agree with that. I think Ginger Baker was a far, far better drummer. But I said that. And with all the, you know, all the Led Zeppelin fans, you know, forget it. I mean...
Well, Phil, Led Zeppelin was...
Led Zeppelin, Phil, was probably one of the finest bands. And, you know, I wouldn't call myself an aficionado of rock and roll. But Led Zeppelin, everybody knows, they're the bad boys on the block.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Well, everybody doesn't know that. I mean, I think Led Zeppelin's a fine band. I'm talking about the drummer in the band, John Bonham. I've seen both those guys. I saw Ginger Baker. I saw John Bonham. And I've heard Ginger Baker, and I've heard John Bonham. And I, you know, so...
So there you are, going against the tide again, swimming against the tide, and all of the Led Zeppelin... Look, Phil, those meatheads over...
Don't start talking about people on Facebook as meatheads. All right. So, a couple of other news stories to get to here.
Well, we got some phone calls.
Yeah, I got a couple of people calling in, want to take exception to what you've been talking about, you know.
All right. I don't know how much time we have. We got Dave Oliva calling in, and I know Dave is a music fan. as well as, you know, a big law enforcement aficionado. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Well, Mr. Ernie, I'm doing real good. I just wanted to say, first of all, I really enjoy your program, and thank you for putting me on the air tonight. What I have to say, Mr. Henry, is I have a great deal of respect for you, but what I just heard you say, you know, man, I can't believe it. You know, I mean, John Bonham, everybody knows, is probably one of the finest drummers that have ever lived, you know. And for you to say that Ginger Baker, I mean, Ginger Baker was a meth freak. He was all messed up, you know.
Yeah, what about that?
What about what, man? What about what?
Ginger Baker was on speed.
You know something? You don't know that, and neither do I. And until such time as we hear it from the man, I'm not going to be slandering anybody. Maybe he used drugs. I'm sure he did. You think John Bonham didn't?
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, let's see. How did he die? Oh, I know. You know.
Well, yeah, John Bonham was drinking. He vomited up, you know.
Yeah, he choked on his own vomit. That's the way most of them die.
Is that right? Is that the way most of them die? Well, regardless... as a matter of fact, John Bonham, I don't know how he died. What'd they find in his system? Do you know, Margaret?
I don't know. We could look it up. But I do know that if John Bonham nodded off, it's very likely he was doing heroin.
Well, I think that, you know, Ms. Gray, I think you got to watch that.
Excuse me, young man, but if he nodded off, he might have been snorting heroin, and that certainly doesn't bode well for the reputation of John Bonham. Which is the proper French pronunciation, Phil. Yes, I said French. John Bonham.
John Bonham?
I didn't say Bonham. That's very disrespectful.
No, ma'am. I'm calling up to say that John Bonham is my favorite drummer. You're the one who disrespected him by saying Bonham, or what's his name again?
John Bonham, man. She said he choked on heroin.
No, he choked on his own vomit. After snorting heroin, maybe.
Okay, so now that we've spread all these rumors, Nikki is here with the real truth. What happened to John Bonham?
The real truth is that in the 24 hours before he died, he consumed 40 shots of 40% ABV vodka. And he vomited and aspirated and died.
Now, was he throwing up on his... He was on his back.
Yep.
And that's what happened. He puked in his sleep.
Yep. There was no other drugs in his system.
No other alcohol.
Well, there you go, Mr. Henry. That's the one thing that will kill anybody is alcohol. And to say that, you know,
he was doing heroin is a bad thing. You're right. You're right. It's a slander.
Well, let the record show that I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. You want to put that in your column?
How dare you?
No, put it in your column that you don't know what you're talking about.
But that still doesn't say that John Bonham was not better than Ginger Baker.
No, it doesn't. But I'm telling you, if you guys are going to start knocking Ginger Baker for whatever it is that he may have done in terms of drugs, John Bonham, 40 shots of vodka. Was he in a competition with somebody? Was it, what the hell?
He was just a known drinker.
Yeah, well, deadly man. Okay, Nikki, thank you for that. And Dave Oliva, thank you, buddy. I think we need to break because we're way, way off the beaten path here now. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're going to come back here and wrap up here on this Friday night. And look, I'm not trying to tell anybody anything. It's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. You guys, I know a lot of you love John Bonham. I thought John Bonham was great. I'm not saying anything. I think the band was great, everything. I just want to see Daddy Ginger, Big Bad Mr. Baker, get a little bit of love, you know.
Ginger Baker's a nutcase.
He's fantastic. Phil Hendry Show.
Now, what do you think of this group as opposed to Led Zeppelin?
Who?
This group, Flock of Seagulls.
They suck.
Oh, wow, you really...
What'd you say, Nick? Nick?
I said, why are you playing them, then?
Why are you playing them?
Because it's good bumper music.
Well, Nikki... I tried to ask your question, but he shot it right out of my mouth.
Thank you, Margaret.
God, shot it out of your mouth. How vulgar.
Hey,
watch it, man. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. You got to be kidding me, right?
Are you trying to tell me that Flock of Seagulls is worse than Led Zeppelin? I don't understand.
Yeah, they are, Margaret. Just take it from me. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, you're talking about the great drummers. And you and Nikki made a very good point It depends on the kind of music that you like. Now, Led Zeppelin and Cream, you mentioned Cream, Phil.
Yeah.
Both of those bands, you could stick into a bus and shove it off a cliff, and I'd cut a fart and go back to sleep. That's what I would do. What do you think about that?
Fine. I mean, you know.
You're not offended by that?
I'm offended. No, I'm not offended by it. General, what do you, you know?
No, I, you're right. I just, that's not my kind of music. If you took the Beatles and you took the Stones?
The Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the Rolling, and you stuck them in a bus and set it on fire and rolled it down a steep embankment, let's say 600 feet to a canyon floor, I would take a look, check my watch, and still wait for the mailman. All right?
All right, so the bottom line is that music matters not to you.
Matt, I could care less about any of that music. Now, because you guys, when you talk about that music, you don't know your ass from 40 cents a week. I'll tell you, because I've been around good music, what the musicianship the things you need to know to do the thing that you need to do. And
what are you trying to say?
I'm saying, Phil, you know about that.
Well, what are you? Yeah, the musicianship and the things that you need to know how to do. So, what are you getting at?
I want to tell you, here is some music. This is great. Now listen to this. What happened to the music that I wanted, Bud?
Oh, I don't know. If you're talking about the polka music, I don't know where it went.
Now, here we go. Listen to this. Now, that's that gay. That's gay. That's very gay. Please don't make me listen to that, please. Here we are. Would you stop with that?
I'm sorry. Why is that happening, Bud? Yeah, get rid of it, man. Just clear that out. Ah, there we go. Now, locate. I guess we don't have that music, General. I think the music, the polka music you wanted to hear, is not there.
Polka music? General Shaw, is this your way of being a big baby?
What are you talking about?
Why would you... We don't want to listen to that.
Wait, hold on. You think I want to play polka music just to be a pain in the ass?
Well, what? You really like it, huh?
Yes, I like it. The intricacy of the slap dance is yet to be, has yet to be fully appreciated. Well, look at him. He's laughing.
You're kidding me or something, man. The intricacy of a slap dance.
Have you ever seen, you know something? If I want to be heard, Phil.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a man in leather shorts? All right. You know what? I'm gonna go outside, light a cigar, and smoke it in one drag.
See you later, General.
Is he kidding?
I don't think he's kidding. I think he didn't do himself any favors when he said, "Have you ever seen a man in leather shorts?"
But that's supposed to mean...
That's what they wear when they do that Bavarian slap dance stuff. We actually had a Blue Cat Blues Hour on our weekend show here on the Phil Henry TV, Phil TV, and we played, or Blue Cat played some polka music.
Now, this Blue Cat, what's his story? That guy...
Well, he plays the blues, but he owns a blues club in Milwaukee, and it's right smack dab in the middle of a heavily German neighborhood, and he couldn't get anybody in that club for love or money until he started bringing in these oompa bands on weekends, right?
Yeah, on a beer garden.
Oh, I see. Does he have the beer, the traditional beer garden?
Yeah, you know, he's got the little traditional beer garden. So he started to have these... Oompa polka bands, and that started to bring the people in, and that's how he got people to hang around for Sunday and Saturday night blues. And, you know.
Well, I find it very difficult to believe that if Chicago is such a mecca for blues, that Milwaukee would not also be one.
Milwaukee, yeah, I would like to know exactly how that's all fallen together, man. Chicago's a hell of a city for the blues, for obvious reasons. It's one of the major cities on the Mississippi.
Well, you know, one thing about Mississippi, you trying to tell me the blues musician come up the Mississippi?
Well, yeah, the Mississippi was the traditional route of travel for people. This is before we had railroads and before we had...
Yeah, but I mean, the blues come up before railroads?
Yeah, they couldn't afford it, man. What do you think they did?
What do you mean they couldn't afford it?
They couldn't afford to take a bus, so they had to drift up on the river.
They didn't drift up on the river, man. They came up on river boats. They came up on paddle boats. That was the main artery of travel south to north in America for many, many years. And then, of course, the railroads. And then, of course, automobiles and all the other things. But the father of all the waters, as we call it, the granddaddy of the waters, or whatever the hell they call it.
What did they call it?
The father of the waters, isn't that it?
What is?
The Mississippi River.
What?
You know what, bud? I had a... So, So anyway, yeah, so that's how they got up to Chicago. I don't know. So the Blues came up to Chicago before they had automobiles. What do you want from me, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, did they drift?
No, they didn't drift, man. What do you mean they drifted?
They didn't have the money.
All right, bud, if I want to get up the Mississippi River to Chicago, do I get on a paddle boat or do I get on a raft and drift?
If you can't afford it.
Even if I can't afford a paddle boat, I ain't about to get on a raft and just drift and hope that I make it to Chicago.
You could take, well, like that in the Clint Eastwood movie.
You don't even know what you're talking about, man. All right, thank God we have come to the end of our rope. And when I say the end of our rope, I mean we have come to the end of our show. But tonight it's been a rope. Tonight it's been a little bit of a rope. Nikki McKee it's soap on a rope. Nikki has been our technical director.
30 seconds.
She's the one that you hear counting it down, so all you guys go, hey, look at you, Nikki, I just get it done. And we'll see you guys on Monday, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Have a great weekend. I know I will.